fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth, friends. Good morning to you. I want to continue the theme this week, talking about really taking from St. Peter, St. Paul, the apostles, the call, the challenge to be able to step up in the midst of trial and difficulty, in the midst of a culture that is resisting the proclamation of the gospel, to be able, when the opportunity arises, in whatever way it unfolds in each one of our lives, to be able to have the courage, the love, the mercy in our heart, to be able to witness to the truth of Christ. Ended the program yesterday reading a section from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I believe it was, where St. Paul lists all the trials that he's gone through in proclaiming the gospel, and these trials are his credentials to his authentic apostleship and his faithfulness to the Lord. And he's boasting not in himself, but he's boasting in the Lord. He's boasting in what the Lord has done in him. And one of the things in reading through the list, he's got another one in chapter 11 I'll read in just a moment, is that all the stories of the persecution of the apostles, the martyrdom of people, St. Stephen, you don't get any sense that they somehow think something has gone wrong, that it wasn't supposed to go this way, that life on earth was supposed to be, as a Christian, was just supposed to be a lot nicer and a lot easier, a lot more comfortable, that people were going to like us, and we were going to do a lot of good for people, and we're going to make the world a better place, and people would receive us, and it would all work out wonderfully. There's not any of that in the apostles. They're not surprised by what they have to endure. And in a number of cases, after getting beaten, after getting imprisoned, what do? They rejoice. Earlier in the week, I was reading the story from Acts chapter 5, where Peter and John, they were dragged in front of the Sanhedrin, and they were warned not to preach in Jesus' name, and they were whipped, and they went back out and did it again. Then they were put in prison. The Holy Spirit led them out of prison, and they went right back out again and began to proclaim the very thing they were warned not to do, right in the center of the temple itself, and then they get dragged in front of the Sanhedrin again, and the scripture says they were enraged, and they just wanted to kill these guys. And then in that moment, I didn't mention earlier in the week, in that moment, Gamaliel, this member of the Sanhedrin, rises up and warns people and says, you know, be careful, don't overdo it here. If these guys are from God, we can't stop them. If they're not from God, it's going to die out anyway, so we need to be careful how we handle them. And so what ends up happening is they were beaten again. Here's what it says at the end of that section, verse 40, chapter 5. So they took his advice, that's Gamaliel's advice, the leaders did. And when they had called in the apostles again, they had the apostles who were standing before them. They were scolding them. They were threatening them. And then they had them removed. Gamaliel convinced them to go easy on the apostles and let it unfold and see what happens. They bring the apostles back in. And then verse 40 says, so they took his advice, and when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in his name, in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. I mean, it's just like a matter of fact that's being stated. They beat them. Imagine you being there with Peter, standing there, brought back in. You're standing alongside Peter, your brother. Peter did the very thing they told him not to do. Immediately after they told him to stop speaking in the name of Jesus, he did it again. They brought him back out and they're waiting. They're not sure what's going to happen to them. I mean, think of the normal human fears, questioning, am I doing the right thing? I really don't want to be put in jail. I don't want my life turned on its head. I don't want to be hurt. Fear arises. And that kind of fear arose in the hearts of the apostles in Gethsemane when the soldiers came for Jesus and the apostles, after an initial conflict with the soldiers, ran because they were afraid. They were protecting themselves. They didn't want to get hurt. That's the natural human response. But look what the Holy Spirit has done to the hearts, the mind, the will of the apostles. Peter gets brought right back in. And what do? They beat them with rods. Imagine yourself being beaten, imprisoned, because of your witness to Jesus Christ. Throughout the 2,000-year history of the church, brothers and sisters, young and old, have been put in that same situation. Some have acquiesced. Many have died. Many have been martyred. Many were seriously beaten because they proclaim the name of Jesus. So here the religious leaders are really flexing their muscles, and they're trying to instill fear into the apostles to stop them from doing the one thing their master and Lord Jesus has commanded them to do. And that's to preach salvation first to the people of Israel and then to the whole world. The apostles understood what was at stake. First, they understood, why? Why were they able to stand with such confidence? Because the Spirit of Jesus Christ has been given to them. And they stood there in His power, in His authority. He said, I'll give you the words to speak. I'll be there with you. You're never going to be alone. I will never leave you. Don't be surprised when this comes to you. You're mine. You're my disciple. So they're going to hate you just like they hated me. But they need to hear this. Let love and mercy and courage drive you. Have the courage to speak the truth in love. Have enough love for me, for Jesus. Have enough love for those you're speaking to. Love God and love your neighbor enough to speak the truth. That's what the Holy Spirit gave the apostles the strength to do. Verse 41 goes on. This is after they've been beaten and they've been charged not to speak any longer the name of Jesus, so they let them go. Then verse 41 says, then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for His name. Friends, think about how hard it is for us ever to experience dishonor, how crushing it is. How much we avoid it, how much, we'll do anything to not be humiliated or dishonored in some way. Look at the response of the apostles. These men are a new creation. There's something new going on inside them. They left that place. They left the halls of power of the religious people. And they were judged, and they were beaten, and they were rejected. Well, what did they do? They rejoiced. Friends, this is their whole world. This is the center of the people of Israel. This is all the power. This is the center of the life of their people. And the people who call the shots in that world absolutely rejected them and threatened them and attempted to humiliate them and to harm them very seriously. What's their response? They rejoiced. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name of Jesus. Where are you in relationship to suffering for Jesus, for suffering dishonor? Think about how hard it is just to consider initiating a conversation with somebody in your world that you know who doesn't know Christ, to try to introduce them to Jesus at some point. Just think how hard it is to consider even doing that. Why is it so hard? Because we're afraid of the consequences. We're afraid of being rejected. We're afraid of being dishonored. We're afraid of being humiliated, and maybe the person won't like us anymore. And so that leaves most of us just standing mute because the cost is too high. Isn't it interesting when you think about it? The cost we would have to pay, the price we would have to pay is nothing compared to what the apostles paid, and the apostles rejoiced in it. Now, after having been beaten and having suffered the dishonor, they rejoiced. And then it goes on to say in verse 42, this is how they responded to the charge to never speak his name again in public. And every day in the temple and at home, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. How about that? That's courage. That's love. That's zeal. That's the passion of Christ for the lost. That's loyalty to Jesus. That's putting Christ first. You know, we're living at a time, as I mentioned, it's worthwhile meditating on these different passages. The story of the apostles who are the forerunners for us, who are our models. They didn't go looking for trouble. They didn't go out to try to stir up conflict and to upset people, the equilibrium that was present in the world at that time. They went out in obedience to Jesus. And they went out not just because the master commanded it, though that was a key part of it, but they understood this is love. They had an urgency within them. They were moved by love, not only for Christ, they were thrilled and fascinated and amazed at the plan of the Father that God entered human history in Jesus Christ. God came, love came to bring about the salvation of the world. They understood the biblical drama. It's not a fantasy, it's a reality. They knew it was true. They saw Jesus, they touched him, they saw him risen and ascend to the right hand of the Father. They knew what was at stake. And so they disregarded their own comfort. They disregarded their own position in society. They disregarded all that. And they were filled with urgency for the salvation of souls. And you know, many of the saints were the same way. St. Vincent Ferrer said, you know, the salvation of souls is the principal desire of God. Give me souls and take the rest for yourself, he said. That's what I want. There's nothing we can give to God that's more pleasing than cooperating with him in the salvation of souls. You see how valuable each life is because Jesus came to die. God came to rescue and to save. And Teresa of Jesus put it this way. She said, this is an inclination given me by our Lord. And I think he prizes one soul which by his mercy and through our diligence in prayer, we may have gained for him more than all other services that we render to God. Just through our prayer, through our fasting, through our suffering, through our evangelization, through our service, mercy toward people who don't know the Lord. She said, just one soul, just one person who comes to salvation in Jesus Christ is more valuable than any service that we render to God beyond that. All of it combined, she said. She said at one point, I would be willing to lay down 1,000 times, die 1,000 deaths to save one single soul who is lost because she grasped the value of every single person of the life, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ. Friends, pray that the Holy Spirit would set our hearts on fire with this kind of courage and clarity. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the Church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.